turns gold. There's a cold monkey with a heart so bold, tapping on keys like they're made of pure soul. Building dreams out of digits, making websites roll. Oh, Austin Cold Monkey, working all night. SEO wizard making ladies take flight. From the Texas heat to the neon glow, you're the custom king of the SEO show.
Imagine pouring, like, thousands of dollars into getting five-star reviews for your business. You're meticulously begging every single happy customer to leave a rating, only to find out that right now, those stars are practically invisible to Google.
Yeah, it's a tough reality check for a lot of people.
Right. I mean, the era of the five-star rating as this ultimate local currency is essentially dead.
Yeah.
Welcome to the era of the AI concierge.
It really is a massive structural collapse of the whole system we've relied on for over a decade.
Yeah.
I mean, we spent years training ourselves and our algorithms, honestly. That volume and a 4.8 average meant quality.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But when you transition from a search engine that returns blue links to an AI engine that provides definitive answers, well, a generic five-star rating suddenly lacks the one thing an AI actually needs, which is context.
And that context is exactly what we're going to pull apart today. In this deep dive, we're looking at the mechanics of this shift, specifically through the framework of a really fascinating brief we have from Austin Code Monkey.
Right, the SEO and AI optimization firm out in Texas.
Exactly. Their article is called The New Local Search Frontier. And the mission of this deep dive is to unpack exactly how Google has fundamentally rewired how we discover the physical world right now in 2026.
It's a total paradigm shift.
It really is. Like, if you're walking around a city looking for a specific type of restaurant, or if you're a business just trying to stay visible, the traditional map pack, you know, that little square with the three red pins, that is no longer the gatekeeper. We are dealing with Google Ask Maps. So, okay, let's unpack this.
What's fascinating here is to understand Ask Maps, you really have to look at what broke in the previous system.
Like the traditional Google Map.
Yeah, exactly. Traditional local search was essentially just a highly efficient digital phone book.
Mm-hmm.
It relied on this this really fragile tripod of keywords, distance from the user's GPS, and star rating.
Right, so it was super rigid.
Very rigid. If you typed plumber, it just scanned a database for businesses that had plumber in their title, checked who was within a 2-mile radius, and sorted them by whoever had the most stars. It didn't actually understand what those businesses did.
It just matched character strengths.
Exactly. Just dumb data point matching.
Which is fine for a broad search. But if I search, like, quiet Italian place near downtown with outdoor seating that's good for a business lunch, the old system just panics.
Oh, completely. It has no idea what to do with that.
Right. It might find an Italian restaurant downtown, but then it forces me to do all the manual labor.
Yeah.
I had to click the profile, scroll through user photos to see if there's actually a patio, read 20 reviews just to guess if the music is too loud for my client meeting. I mean, the cognitive load was entirely on you, the user.
Yeah, and that cognitive load is exactly what Google's Gemini model removes in Ask Maps. Ask Maps replaces that old keyword matching with what they call entity understanding.
Entity understanding. Okay, so how does that work in practice?
Well, when you feed it that exact prompt about the quiet Italian place for a business lunch, it treats the query as a complex multivariable logic puzzle. It parses out the cuisine, the geographic boundary, the physical amenities, and, like you said, the subjective atmosphere.
Wow.
And then instead of just throwing a list of links at you, it generates a conversational narrative. It recommends a single, highly vetted location and actually explains exactly why it fits your parameters.
But wait, the immediate problem with an AI acting as your personal concierge is hallucination, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's the biggest risk.
Because if a large language model is confidently telling you that this specific bistro is perfect for your high-stakes business lunch, it needs a mechanism to ensure it isn't just generating a plausible-sounding lie based on, you know, statistical word prediction.
Right. It can't just guess.
There has to be some rigid infrastructure anchoring the AI to the actual physical world.
There is, and it requires a complete reorganization of the Google ecosystem. They've broken it down into three distinct interdependent layers. The entire strategy behind preventing hallucinations relies on how these layers talk to each other.
Okay, so what's the first layer?
The foundation, like the absolute bedrock of this system, is the input layer. Now, we traditionally know this as the Google Business Profile, but its function has totally evolved. It is now treated by the AI as the strict single source of truth.
Ah, okay. So the GBP is where the business locks in its hard, immutable facts. The exact geographic coordinates, the hours of operation down to the minute, the specific category.
Yes, exactly.
It's funny, when you look at how businesses have to fill these out now in the source material, it operates almost exactly like a filtering system on a dating app.
That's a really good way to put it.
Yeah, you have these binary yes or no attribute flags like EV charging on site, wheelchair accessible, women-led, eco-friendly materials.
Right, and they're totally non-negotiable for the AI.
So if you are a user querying the AI for a coffee shop with EV charging, and a shop hasn't explicitly checked that binary box in their input layer, they don't even enter the AI's calculation space.
Not at all.
They're completely invisible to the prompt.
Yeah, they are filtered out before the AI even begins its complex reasoning. The AI cannot recommend what it cannot verify through structured data. But, you know, the input layer alone isn't enough.
Why not? Facts are facts.
Well, because facts on a database don't always reflect the reality on the street. And that's why we need the second layer, which is the visual layer.
Okay, the visual layer.
Yeah, this is the spatial anchor. It utilizes what Google calls immersive navigation, which is a highly detailed 3D rendering of the actual driving or walking experience.
Okay, I actually want to push back on the necessity of that layer for a second.
Sure, go ahead.
If the goal is a conversational AI that just whispers the perfect answer in your ear or gives you a clean text summary on your screen, injecting a heavy, data-intensive 3D rendering of the building seems counterintuitive. It feels like, I don't know, overkill for a system built around natural language.
It would be overkill totally if we were strictly navigating a digital space. But the final mile of local search is always physical. You have to physically open a door in the real world.
Right, that makes sense.
So if the AI perfectly synthesizes a recommendation based on the input layer, but the business, let's say, recently moved their entrance from the main avenue to an alleyway around back.
Oh, and they didn't update their visual street level data.
Exactly. Then the user experience breaks down right at the point of entry. The user gets frustrated, they can't find the door, and the trust in that AI concierge is completely shattered. So the visual layer exists to guarantee spatial accuracy.
Ah, I see. So the visual layer is essentially the AI double checking its own work against the physical geometry of the real world before sending you there.
Yes, exactly. It's building confidence before it speaks. Which leads us to the third layer, the intelligence layer.
And this is the actual Ask Maps part.
Precisely. This is the conversational interface itself, where the Gemini model sits on top of the input and visual layers and actually interacts with you. This is where all that synthesis happens.
So going back to the complex prompt example from earlier, where the user asks for a quiet coffee shop in East Austin with fast Wi-Fi and a patio that's open until 9 p.m. on Tuesdays.
Yeah, that's a perfect example.
Here's where it gets really interesting for me. Because quiet is not a binary checkbox in the Google business profile. There's no attribute flag for good vibes.
No, there definitely isn't.
So to calculate atmosphere, the intelligence layer has to somehow extract sentiment from unstructured data. If I'm the AI and I don't have a rigid, quiet database field to look at, my only option is to read the human context left behind by previous visitors, right?
Yes, exactly. It has to parse the actual raw text of customer reviews. And this loops right back to our intro, the idea that the basic 5-star rating is dead.
Because a 5-star review that just says, great place, loved it, has zero semantic value to a language model.
It's functionally empty space to the model. It contains no extractable data about the physical environment or the specific services rendered. The AI requires descriptive narrative text.
Right, so it needs a review that states, like, the barista let me sit in the corner booth for 3 hours to study, and the music wasn't too loud.
Exactly. Or, the plumber arrived at 2 a.m. and replaced the cracked PVC pipe under my sink in 40 minutes. In the Ask Maps ecosystem, the AI treats every single detailed customer review as a micro document in this massive vector database.
Wow.
So when you query for a quiet place to study, the system uses natural language processing to run a semantic search across that entire corpus of text, looking for contextual matches, not just keyword hits.
It's actually extracting the specific attributes from the human narrative. And honestly, what really strikes me about this shift is that the AI doesn't stop at text. The computer vision aspect of this is frankly staggering.
Oh, it really is.
Like, the AI is literally reading the pixels of user-uploaded photos to corroborate the text. Oh. If a restaurant claims to be great for groups, and a user leaves a review saying they had a large party there, the AI doesn't just take their word for it. It scans the actual photos uploaded to the profile.
Yeah, it's performing real-time spatial and atmospheric analysis on the image files. It looks at the geometry of the room, like are there large combined tables? Is the seating dense or spread out?
It's analyzing the lighting parameters too, right?
Yeah, is it brightly lit and sterile or warmly lit with heavy shadows? It even cross-references pixel clustering that indicates, say, outdoor patio umbrellas or acoustic dampening tiles on a ceiling.
But wait, computer vision is famously fallible. It's heavily dependent on the quality of the lens, the time of day the photo was taken, the exposure settings.
Oh, for sure. It's not perfect.
So if a user uploads a photo of this really romantic, dimly lit steakhouse, but they didn't adjust their phone's camera exposure, the image might just look incredibly dark. What stops the AI from analyzing that poorly lit photo and incorrectly tagging the restaurant as gloomy or even closed?
That is a huge issue.
Because if the AI is acting as the ultimate judge of atmosphere, a bad batch of user photos could totally corrupt its understanding of the physical space.
And that is the exact vulnerability in relying solely on unstructured data.
Right.
Computer vision models can totally misinterpret context, and natural language models can be fooled by sarcasm in a text review.
Right.
And that is why businesses cannot just passively hope that the AI figures out who they are based on user uploads anymore. To survive in this landscape, a business has to proactively force the AI to understand it accurately. They have to build what is known as entity trust.
Entity trust. Okay, this is the core of what Austin CodeMonkey is engineering for their clients, right?
Yes, exactly. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it's moving away from the old SEO tactic of keyword density, where you just cram the word Austin Plumber onto your homepage 50 times, and moving toward what they call contextual completeness.
So you have to mathematically prove to the AI that you are the definitive authoritative entity for a specific topic.
Because the AI is inherently risk-averse. Hmm. It will only recommend an entity, whether that's a business, a service, or a location, if it has absolute verified confidence in that entity's attributes.
And how do you build that confidence?
Through aggressive specificity. In the old directory model, a business might just list their primary category as plumber, but in the Ask Maps ecosystem, broad categories are pretty much useless.
We have to get specific.
Hyper-specific. The business must delineate every single niche service they provide. So instead of plumber, it needs to be tankless water heater installation, trenchless sewer repair, hydro jetting.
Because users aren't searching for broad categories anymore. They're asking the AI these highly specific conversational questions.
Right.
Like a homeowner whose house is flooding at midnight doesn't ask the AI for a plumber. They say, "My basement is flooding from a burst pipe. Who is open right now and can fix it?" The AI needs to see that exact semantic match in the business's defined services.
And this demand for conversational matching completely changes how a business has to structure its own website. It's no longer enough to just have a static, bulleted list of services on a page. The architecture of the website's content actually has to mirror human inquiry.
Which you see in the shift regarding FAQ sections on websites, right? Like 5 years ago, an HVAC website might just have a header that said AC repair services.
Yeah, very robotic.
But now, to align with the AI's natural language processing, that content needs to be phrased as the exact question a stressed user would ask Gemini. Something like, "What should I do if my AC freezes over during a Texas summer?"
Exactly. The website has to provide the narrative answer, allowing the AI to easily scrape it, verify it, and serve it directly to the user in that Ask Maps interface.
Okay, but having the right text on the page isn't enough to guarantee entity trust, is it?
No, it's not. The AI needs to know that the text isn't just marketing fluff. It needs to read the data natively. And this requires a highly technical approach called entity optimization, which heavily utilizes schema markup.
Now, schema markup is fascinating because it's essentially a translation layer.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
It's structured data embedded directly into the website's HTML code. Because if you just write regular text on a page, an AI has to use computational power to guess the context of that text. But schema takes the guesswork out entirely.
It explicitly labels the data in a vocabulary the AI inherently understands.
You're effectively spoon-feeding the LLM.
You are. You're providing the AI with a predefined knowledge graph, and the goal of that graph is to establish what Austin CodeMonkey refers to as the trust triplets.
Trust triplets. Okay, break that down.
This is the foundational structure of how an AI maps relationships in a database. It consists of a subject, a predicate, and an object.
So it's node, edge, node. The fundamental architecture of a relationship. So if you map it out, the subject is the specific business entity itself, let's say Austin City Plumbing. The predicate is the action or the relationship like installs.
Mm.
And the object is the hyper-specific service, so tankless water heaters.
Exactly. Subject, predicate, object. Austin City Plumbing installs tankless water heaters. When a website's schema markup explicitly defines this exact triplet in the code, the AI instantaneously logs it as a claimed fact.
But a claimed fact is not a verified fact.
Right. To build actual entity trust, the AI then has to actively hunt for corroborating evidence across the entire digital ecosystem.
It cross-references.
Oh, aggressively. It looks at the input layer, the Google business profile. Does the GBP explicitly list tankless water heaters under services? Yes.
Then it scans the unstructured data. It looks at the parsed text of the customer reviews. Do multiple users specifically mention a tankless water heater installation? Yes.
Exactly. And it looks at social media mentions, local directory citations, and even that computer vision analysis of the photos uploaded to the profile to see if there are actual images of those specific heaters.
And when the AI successfully maps that exact trust triplet across the website code,
yeah,
the structured GBP database, the unstructured review text, and the visual data, the confidence score for that specific entity skyrockets.
Yes. The AI knows with mathematical certainty that this business is the definitive answer for that specific service. The entity trust is verified.
And once that trust is verified, the AI is comfortable overriding proximity.
That is the real kicker here.
Yeah, because if you have a massive entity trust score for tankless water heater repair, the AskMaps concierge might recommend you to a user who is 10 miles away, completely bypassing a closer competitor who hasn't structured their data or built their trust triplets. Mm. Proximity is no longer the absolute king.
Verifiable expertise is, that is the crucial takeaway for the business side. You can no longer rely on your physical location just to guarantee foot traffic. But there is also a critical consideration regarding how the AI monetizes this new conversational space.
Right, because at the end of the day, Google's still an advertising company.
Very much so.
If the interface is no longer a list of 10 blue links, with the top three being sponsored, how do they inject ads into a conversational AI without breaking the illusion of an impartial personal concierge? It seems like a super delicate balance.
It is.
Because if I ask for a quiet coffee shop and the AI aggressively pitches me a loud sports bar just because they paid for placement, I'm never using AskMaps again.
Right. The trust would be gone instantly. So the mechanism they use now is contextual weaving. Sponsored recommendations still exist, obviously, but they are dynamically inserted based on strict semantic relevance to the user's prompt.
So they have to actually fit the query.
Yes. The AI will not serve a sponsored result that violates the core constraints of your question. If you ask for a quiet environment, it'll only allow a business to bid on that placement if their own entity trust verifies that they actually possess a quiet environment.
That's interesting.
Yeah. The sponsored result is clearly labeled as an ad, but it appears within the conversational dialogue as an alternative option that objectively meets your criteria, rather than just some unrelated banner ad pasted at the top of the screen.
It's forcing advertisers to actually be relevant to the highly specific context of the prompt, rather than just buying broad keywords.
Exactly.
It's a much more elegant, but arguably more insidious, integration of commerce into our natural language interactions. Especially considering this is primarily a mobile-first experience. You are likely speaking these prompts into your phone while actively driving or walking around a city, making these split-second decisions based on the AI's synthesized authority.
And that level of reliance on synthesized authority, this raises an important question, maybe even a profound philosophical one, about the future of physical spaces.
How do you mean?
Well, if AskMaps acts as the ultimate gatekeeper and its decisions are heavily weighted by computer vision analyzing photos and NLP models parsing review text, what happens to the physical world? If a business realizes that the AI's computer vision model favors a certain type of spatial arrangement or a specific color temperature of lighting to tag an environment as cozy, the business will inevitably alter its physical space to match the AI's algorithmic preference.
You're talking about algorithmic architecture.
Yes.
Like a restaurant owner realizing that their perfectly comfortable, warmly lit dining room doesn't read well to the AI's pixel analysis, so they literally install harsh, high contrast lighting just so the computer vision model correctly categorizes their tables.
Exactly. They degrade the actual human experience in the physical room in order to perfectly flatter the digital AI concierge.
Yeah.
We are optimizing the physical world to be machine readable.
That is wild.
Think about it. We've spent the last 20 years optimizing our websites for search engine crawlers. The logical, albeit super unsettling, next step is that we begin optimizing our actual physical architecture for computer vision and entity extraction models. We stop designing for the human eye and start designing for the camera lens that feeds the AI.
That is a staggering implication. The shift from a digital phone book to an AI answer engine doesn't just change how we look things up on our phones. It actually possesses the power to dictate the interior design, the lighting, and the literal physical reality of the businesses we visit. The local search frontier isn't just a software update. It's a fundamental rewiring of how the digital world maps, judges, and ultimately shapes our physical environment.
It really is. It changes everything.
So what does this all mean? Well, we've covered incredible ground today, moving from the collapse of the 5-star rating to the intricate mechanics of schema markup and trust triplets. Whether you're a consumer trying to leverage these complex prompts to find exactly what you need, or a business frantically trying to build entity trust before you become invisible to the algorithm, the rules of discovery have permanently changed. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the 2026 local search landscape. Keep analyzing the systems around you, question the recommendations you're handed, and as always, stay curious.
New from the Austin Code Monkey Underground Lab, the Austin Code Monkey AI Review Response Generator. Our SEO chimp got tired of writing review replies, so we built AI. Utilize it for your business because nobody opens their laptop excited to reply to Google, Yelp, Facebook, and TripAdvisor reviews. Visit Austin Code Monkey for more details at austincodemonkey.com.
Austin Code Monkey delivers expert web design and SEO services for businesses that want more calls, more leads, and more jobs. Our SEO strategies ensure your online presence keeps growing and bringing in results. For more information, call 737-932-7532 or visit our website at austincodemonkey.com.
Austin Code Monkey. Working all night, SEO wizard making rankings take flight. From the Texas heat to the neon glow, you're the code slinging king of the SEO show.